Thank you for standing. So, remember last week we talked about our goals for this lesson was to understand that God has shown himself to every person through an inward revelation that testifies of his existence. I call it a God-shaped void that only he can fill within every man, woman, boy, and girl. Also, to realize that all of creation points to the existence of God through his amazing design. That's what we're going to be kind of focusing on today. And then recognizing that God has revealed himself countless times throughout history and identifies the ways in which man has repeatedly, over and over again, rejected him. Past, unfortunately, in the present we live in, man is rejecting the Lord, and then no doubt in the future. So if you have an outline and it isn't filled in, we'll just do a little bit of recap. You know that we've seen this on the coexist, and we studied about how each letter represents a different religion. And then we've seen where God exists. And then as we went on in our introduction, we've seen the humanist manifesto was simply good without God. We looked at one-third of those ages 35 and younger report no religious affiliations. We've seen this graph between 2001, 2018, the drop in religion all the way around. And then we've seen the statistic that 1 in 4 unchurched adults are skeptics or either atheists or agnostic. We remember we kind of took time and looked at them in terms of what an atheist is and what an agnostic is. And then the first point was an inner revelation. So if you want to fill that in with your outline, if you want a book, you know, the books are $10. If you don't have $10, I will buy you one. And I'm serious about that. You know, that's how important it is for me to have that you can have it, because within that book are 5-day devotions. Really be a blessing to you. So the next point is letter A, is an innate truth. And you could fill that in there. And the next one was, in our study, is a unique intellect. A unique intellect. And that took us through to our second point, is where we're going to pick up today. And that is an external revelation, Not only has God placed a knowledge of himself within our hearts, but he has also surrounded us with evidence of his existence. Just want to get to that. So, Brother Chuck, you want to read there Romans 1:20.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Do you see that verse that God is so, we were studying this in Sunday school, that God is so powerful. Amen. And he is so knowledgeable that he can make himself known to those that have never even heard of him by testifying to them through his creation. From creation all around us, God has revealed himself to mankind in two ways. So letter A is a revelation of cause. Cause. We live in a world of what? Cause and effect, where every effect must have an adequate cause. In this instance, the universe is an effect. So reason demands that there must be a cause greater than the universe itself. Think about a piece of fruit, an apple, an orange, a banana. That fruit could not bring itself into existence and therefore had to have a cause. A tree grew on, but that tree also demands a cause. It had to come from a seed. The seed also had to have a cause. And the reasoning goes on and on. Because there cannot logically be an infinite number of causes, you will eventually arrive at a beginning and a first cause. Bible-believing Christians believe that first cause is God. First verse in the Bible that Dale read. In the beginning, God. God. Listen to this. Concrete reality around us owes its existence to something else. Every effect must have a cause, and every object or person must have a beginning. Traces each effort back to its cause must eventually lead to one self-existent cause. Christians believe that the self-existent cause is God. This explanation for the existence of God is sometimes referred to as a cosmological argument. That's a big word, isn't it? Cosmological argument. As one textbook states, the term cosmological comes from the Greek word cosmos, meaning world. This argument is based on the fact that a cosmos or world exists because something cannot come from nothing. There must be an original cause that is the reason for the world's existence. So, you know, not very many people wear wristwatches anymore, but I have an old watch. I like it. It's just an old Carvela. It's actually a knock, or I don't know who. Anyhow, it's just an old watch. But let me read this to you. It says, so I've never seen the person that makes this, right? The fact of the existence of this watch suggests that there's what? We were talking about this in Sunday. A watchmaker. Right. Steve, why don't you quote for us what you just share real quick, that little testimony about Einstein that really prodded you intellectually about that. Go ahead.
Statement to these people was that if somebody that had as much effect on our society as Albert Einstein did came, that was the conclusion that he came to, I was never going to be able to rise above that from an intellectual standpoint. I simply didn't have the guns to do that. So it's something that I've always worked into my own witness that seems to make sense to me.
Right.
Yeah,
we're gonna get to that. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, maybe today, if I don't run out of gas. But yeah, so if you're gonna have a watch, you gotta have a watchmaker. The cosmological argument says that every effect must have a cause. Scientists speculate about the creation of the world. They theorize about evolution, a Big Bang, and an ancient Earth. But every theory that creates lacks objective support and logic. One Nobel Prize-winning physicist simply claimed, in the beginning there was an explosion. But the logic of that statement, that a beautifully ordered world could arise out of a destructive explosion, is completely contrary to everything we observe and to everything we know about science. Not to mention, it begs the question, well, what caused the explosion to begin with?
Right.
So a belief in evolution rather than a wise creator makes life purposeless. Thankfully, reality states that the ultimate cause of the world is God himself. The uncaused caused who brought you and me into existence. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which do appear, which are seen, are not made of the things which do appear. Now, Job says it like this. He says that God hung the earth upon nothing. So the truth breathes purpose into our existence like nothing else can. Through faith, we believe that the unquestionable cause for the world is our God, who has revealed himself as our maker. Evolution says we are nothing more than molecules in motion, but God says that we are to put him at the center of life, giving honor to him. So the next point is a revelation of creation. Let's see. Yes, the revelation of creation. God not only shows us through the world around us that there must be a cause greater than mere matter itself, but he also uses the world and its astounding orderliness to reveal himself to us. God writes his signature into every intricate blade of grass and etches it into every towering mountain. You'll see in your outline, under letter B, the first one is creation has order. We stand in awe at the beauty of the creation that we have seen. Has anyone ever seen the Grand Canyon? You ever drove through the Rocky Mountains? Ever looked at the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean, right? We recognize that they were formed by the power much greater than an accident. You get out into Idaho, into the wilderness, or away from light pollution on a clear night. I'm telling you, there's order to it, amen? And it's much greater than an accident. A power so much wiser than human ingenuity. A power so much more orderly than random chance. 1 Corinthians 14:40 said, let all things be done decently and in order. Psalms 119:89, right here that we have printed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The next verse in Psalms 119, verse 90, says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. God has established the earth, and it abideth. God's plan for beauty and order exists externally, formed in his masterful mind and revealing him as designer. So in your outline, you'll see the number two is creation shows a designer. So the created world reveals not only a cause, but it reveals truths about one who is the cause. Specifically, it shows us that God is the God of order and design. He does not just create life, he creates it beautifully and perfectly. So for the sake of illustration here, we'll go to our watch thing. So this is a Bulova watch, right? All taken apart, right? You see the springs, the gears, and the hands, right? Let's just say you have all these pieces, or we're going to put them in a drawer. So all these pieces reveal a cause. Someone has made the pieces, right? But they're not put together. They're not assembled. So evolution says you put them all into a, you put them in a drawer, you shake it together, and then boom, there you go. Right? So when you open the box, you'd expect to find this assembled, well-running watch. No. Because a watch needs both a cause and a designer. And it is so with our world. God not only created the world, but he designed it. Or we could say he created it well. He put it all together. Creation shows us clearly and unmistakably that our God, that our world was beautifully designed by God himself, with its chief occupation being to glorify God and to point him as the sole designer. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 3 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Amen. It's a wonderful thing just to be settled on that in the beginning God did it, and that settles it. So the innate truth of God's existence, coupled with the ringing sound of creation's praises, leaves all humanity without even one excuse to reject God or deny knowledge of him. That is the argument in Romans 1:20. Makes it as to say so that they are without excuse. No one has the choice to escape his amazing revelation. So that brings us to point three, historical revelation. God has not only revealed himself to man as upon his conscience and through creation, but he has revealed himself throughout history. Romans 1:21 references this phrase, because that when they knew God, let me see something here. I'm going to try and check this, see if this is printed out in here. It is, right? Romans 1:21. Chuck, would you read that for us?
"Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened."
Sadly, man has often rejected God, even when they knew him. So we see letter A in your outline, in past cultures. In past cultures. History records two, let me see here, I better get with the program here, right? So the history records two times when all living people knew the true God. The first time was in the very beginning when Adam and Eve had a personal fellowship with God. Even after their sin broke that intimate fellowship, God revealed to them his plan of redemption. Still, even that first family experienced rebellion against and rejection of God. And this rejection and rebellion grew progressively worse and worse with almost every generation. By the time Noah came upon the scene, mankind as a whole had rejected God. Dale, go ahead and read Genesis 6:5.
"And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
And the second time when all living people knew that there was a true God was when Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord and were spared from the worldwide flood that destroyed all other life on earth. As Noah and his family got off the ark, everyone on the earth knew the one true God. Once again, however, the pattern of sin and rebellion repeated almost as soon as they got off the ark. What were you thinking of, Mike? Noah got what?
Drunk.
Noah got drunk. It's crazy, isn't it? Just tells you the power of the flesh. Then God chose the nation of Israel, through which he could reveal himself to the rest of the world. They too turned from God. Although they had more truth in their disposal than any other people on earth, they often ignored it and turned their back on it. Just think of it. They were God's people. They were God's nation. There wasn't any Hebrews before Abraham. God founded a nation, his people, and they still rejected him. Time and time again, God warned Israel about their rejection of him. But with every warning, they seemed to grow more and more deaf. As a result, they turned wholeheartedly to idols and were eventually judged through the dispersion and captivity. Isaiah, Chuck, go ahead and read verse 4 and verse 9. It's in the outline. Even the Greek and Roman empires, the largest in their days, worshipped every false god imaginable, but they largely refused to worship Jesus Christ. You know, when Paul preached at Mars Hill, as he walked up Mars Hills to debate with the great philosophers of the day, they had all the gods and everything, and to cover their own bases, they actually had one inscription said, "To the unknown God." And old Paul says, "Now I can tell you about him." Amen. Amen. And this was this. So as we see this with the Greeks and the Romans, and they refused to worship Jesus Christ. And this was in spite of the fact that they had overwhelming evidences for Christianity shown throughout the first century. The apostles and the rapid spread of Christianity as detailed in the book of Acts. Such a rampant rejection of God led to ruthless persecution of the church. They sought night and day to destroy the truth of God they had right in front of them. Do we not see that today? This process of people having a knowledge of God but turning from him, we would call... the word would be secularism or secular, I don't know.
Secularization.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know if I have this quote in here. I'm going to see if I can find it. Nope, it's in the outline. You want to read that, Chuck?
Secularists see belief in God as a great obstacle to human progress. For the most part, the real challenge is not secularism, secularization, a process that happens in society largely without argument or notice. The binding authority of Christian theism, the biblical grounded understanding of God and the world, just fades.
Man. Just as God has repeatedly revealed himself and
to replace with a new worldview, sorry.
Oh, okay. You didn't. Oh, it was on the next page. You got it, though. Thank you. Let me turn it over. Don't worry, I'm with you on that. So just as God has repeatedly revealed himself to our human race, man has repeatedly rejected him. Man knew God, but the culture after culture spurned him and followed their own hearts to destruction. They blocked out his voice and turned to their own way, setting themselves up as their own gods. So we see the next one is, letter B, in present culture. This rejection of God's revelation has not just happened in the past, it continues today as well. Our current times are marked just by the rejection of God just as in the past or any other ages. Look what's going on, you know. Rejection of God is a process that has always moved beyond disbelief of God into a passionate belief in something else and a hardened heart in the process. Rejection of God is why people run to cults or Eastern meditation or the worship of nature or satanic cults. It is the reason they become angry at any mention of Jesus Christ, especially publicly. That's why you see the move for the cancel culture, you know, taking down the Ten Commandments. I mean, did you ever think you would see the stuff you see today with this reversal of Roe Wade that people are so passionate about the murdering of innocent babies? You almost have to pinch yourself and say, is this really happening? I mean, these people are willing to die for the right to kill an unborn child. Right? G.K. Chesterton said, when men choose not to believe in God, they do not therefore believe in nothing. Then they become capable of believing in anything. When you push God out of your life, you want nothing to do with him or nothing to do with his people or nothing to do with his word, you're capable of anything. Yep. You're capable of anything. If you'd have told me even 10 years ago the stuff that my wife comes home and tells me that's going on in elementary schools in this community, I would have said, there is no way. Right. There is no way. How in the world could some parents dress their little boy up as a little girl that's only 5 and 6 years old and send him to school and say, you're not a boy anymore, you're a girl? Listen, that's not even funny. That's just wicked. It's wicked. And the stuff that these people are, these protests and stuff like that, it's just wicked. It's heinous. But that's what's going on. Amen? That's what's going on. But we, as Christians, we can stay strong on the truth. Amen? You know, the Bible says that we should speak the truth in love. You know, Paul appealed to the Galatians because the Galatians were Judaizers. These Judaizers were very a little more than antagonistic against Paul. They hated him. They wanted to tear him apart, right? But Paul said this. He goes, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Amen? It is. You know, and all we got to do is just love the Lord, amen, love one another, and love our fellow man. If you would really think about it today, if you'd really think about it today, if we all just practice what Jesus taught, you know, amen. You know, the world calls it, and we do as Christians too, the golden rule, mm-hmm. to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, mm-hmm. and thy neighbor as thyself. If right. we were just to love one another,
amen,
amen, as we want to be loved, this world would be, we wouldn't have the problems that we have today. There's just no possible way that I'm going to read 4 more pages
I can't read that much anyways, amen. But I want to encourage you, as summer ramps up, come on now. Summer ramps up. I mean, we see 10, 15 degrees in temperature change, and man, everybody just takes all their clothes off. I mean, just like, whoa, man. Yep. You know what I'm saying? But that's Idaho, you know. Oh, that's everywhere, right? I'm going to talk about the temperature, right? I mean, you know, one day it'd be 50 degrees, and then I guess we're going to have 90 tomorrow. I don't know. But, you know, we, as believers, we don't have to succumb to the culture and the pressures of the culture. Amen? That doesn't mean we have to be mean about it, that, you know, but there's going to be a lot going on really fast around here. Amen? And I think that we can make a difference. Amen? But, you know, it's just not believing. It's like, for instance, this abortion debate, you know. They say, you know, you say, well, I don't believe in abortion. But I'm telling you, you better be ready if someone's going to ask you, well, why do you feel like that, right? You know, you need to come back because God said so. Amen? Amen? You know, why is it important to be married? You know what I mean? Someone says, well, it's just a piece of paper. No, God said he'll bless it. Amen? Amen. God said in Genesis, shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, right? The Bible in the New Testament talks. Jesus talked about divorce, right? You know, he preached about it, you know, so on and so forth. I'm just saying, these cultural issues, we need to really have an argument, you know. I don't know if I've already shared with you, but, you know, I had a lesbian call our church number and want to argue with me. This isn't the first time. It happened the Monday after the big rainbow deal in the park. Okay? You know? These people are militant about what they believe. And if they can, they're gonna make you believe. They're not just going after anybody. They're coming after pastors. You know what I'm saying? You know? And that's the second time I've had one of them calls. So you pray for me, amen? It gets so bad, honestly, folks, all of you guys, I have you in the phone. I know your number. But I cannot answer the church number many times. I have to screen the calls, amen? But God is good
all the time.
I know this is a little different as far as the format on Sunday morning, but we want to be a blessing. Got two prayer requests. I'd like you to pray for Tina. She's not feeling good. Just can't get past this cough and stuff. And then also, we would like to pray for you before we close. So why don't you come on up here? I'm going to have some of the men. If you feel led, I'm going to have you come up. And why don't we pray for Ellen? Ellen is really, really, really having a tough time. She's really sick. She's not recovering. And we don't want you to give up, okay? So
she
I want you, huh?
She won't give up.
Yeah, but she's hanging by her fingernails.
I know, but
right? Yeah.
This is a prayer warrior. She prays for you guys. Yep. She prays for us by name. You pray for her.
Well, come on up here, Christy. You can start us off, and then we'll have these other men. Just pray. Just pray.
Strengthen her.